the prohibition of writing tattoos. Now, we might not be writing tattoos, but we might have friends of ours, or people that we know, or people that we know who know people, that are writing tattoos in their bodies. I know somebody told me that he was encouraging somebody not to write a tattoo. Someone he knows wanted to do a tattoo.
It's very popular now, unfortunately.
It's popular. You're in the village. I presume they have all these shops. They do tattoos because it's a way of expression, and especially the teenagers, the youngsters, are looking to express themselves. But some people start wearing earrings, and some people start doing body piercing and all different things. That people do all different types of things, but they feel that's the way they could express themselves. Prohibited min haTorah to tattoo. It's one of the 613 mitzvos that we're committed not to have a tattoo. And obviously, if we can encourage anybody who wants to have a tattoo to stop them, we're saving them from doing an aveira. So here's the prohibition. So nichtol libsareinu ksovas kaka. So we're not allowed to go ahead and write in our flesh a writing that's engraved, that's permanent. That's the prohibition. And where's the pasuk? Because the shenema, the pasuk says, "Parshas Kedoshim, Ksuvas Kaka Lo Sitnu B'Sarcha." A writing, a permanent writing, engraved. You should not place in your body. Va'inyanu. Now the chinuch says, "Kimo she'usin hayom hayishmeilim." This is something that's very common to the Arabs. It was common to the Arabs in his day. Was probably going back, probably 600 years ago or so. 700. The chinuch, the sefer chinuch.
Was he a rabbi who was around in some country once?
He was probably in Spain, and that's what I would think he was from. And he's writing that this was the common thing in his time, that they would write shekosvim v'psarim ksav mechuka v'tekua she'im nimchak l'olam. They would engrave in their bodies a writing which would never be able to be erased. V'ein achiyuv ela b'ksav chokuk v'rashum b'dyo b'chal. Only a type of writing that has some sort of ink to it, or v'shat sevonim haroshim, other types of writings that make a mark, other types of dyes, that any other types of colors. Chinom v'makos, the Mishnah says in Makos, that's in the third paragraph of Masechus Makos, that says like this. It says, let's get the Mishnah. Hakosif ksovas kaka. The Mishnah says, "Kosav v'lo kika." He only wrote, and he did not engrave. It wasn't engraved. That it wasn't etched in, scraped in. If you write something on the surface, but it's not scratched in, scraped in, indebted into it, or it's case one. You wrote, but you didn't indent it. It wasn't engraved, or kikav, or he engraved something. Let's say he made a scratch, or he used a needle and he dug deep into his skin. But v'lokosav, he did not fill the engraving where he engraved in. Well, let's say he cut with a knife into his flesh, but he didn't fill it in with any ink. He's not chayiv malchus, ad sheyichtov yikakea b'dyo u'b'chol. Unless you actually engraved and you put some ink in it, the Mishnah says. B'chol dova sheroshem. The Mishnah says anything that could make a mark, and you could see it. You could. It's a color. You engraved it with a color of some sort of color. There would be a prohibition min haTorah, And there'll be a chiyuv of malchus, of lashes, if he was warned and he was, there's witnesses and he intentionally go ahead and he violated the prohibition. Yes.
For some reason we've been saying kosev, using the word kosev, you know, kosovus or kosev. It seems like that's used for osios usually, and it's not clear now whether this goes on pictures as well as letters.
Right. But from the language of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says. Anything that makes a mark, right, doesn't seem to indicate it has to actually be a letter. It would seem even a picture, and we'll see more in the Sefer HaChinuch more about that. So now that what I just quoted you, I read you the Mishnah, so he also brings it down. The Mishnah, the Chinuch brings down the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says, Kaka velo kosav, if he engraved klumish, velo rushmo b'tseva. He didn't put any, didn't mark it with any ink. Kosav or kosav velo kika, or he made ink, he marked it with ink, but there was no engraving. Klumish, rushmo b'soro b'tseva. He marked his body with ink. Of a low osa straight, so he didn't make a scrape, and he didn't scrape it, he didn't scratch it, he didn't cut it. In a chayiv ashiyichlo v'takeya b'dyo, until he writes and v'takeya b'dyo with ink u'bekal v'kol dover, anything that makes a mark. Okay, so far we see that the prohibition, you know, for a person to get malchus, to get lashes, if he engraves. And he goes ahead, he engraves in, and there's some sort of ink, couple of ink. That's the combo. The Ramit Chaschinuch is going to discuss, what about if you do one and not the other? You have ink, but you didn't engrave. Uh-huh. Or you engraved, and there's no ink. Would there be a prohibition, rabbinic prohibition, if you did one and not the other? Uh-huh. Would there be a biblical prohibition of Chatzi Shir?
I see.
What would be the case if you did one and the other? And the question is, can I go ahead and write on my hand? People like to write a telephone number down on their hand.
Sure, why not? Because that washes off.
That washes off. Very good. So the question is the fact that that washes off. So there's definitely no biblical prohibition. And number one, it washes off. And number two, it's not engraved.
Right.
But is there any rabbinic injunction against that? That's the question that he's going to discuss.
I see.
Do we say that, you know what, once you start writing on your hand, maybe should we make it, would the rabbi say, hey, you might come to make it indented as well? With a type of permanent way, you might go ahead and make a scrape. Would we make a decree? We say don't do that because we want to protect as a fence that you shouldn't go ahead and scrape. Right. Is there any such a rabbinic prohibition about that or not? That we'll see. As we know, people are writing telephone numbers on their hands all the time, and I don't think you have anybody protesting against that, which will seem to indicate that. That it sounds like it looks like it's good. We'll see more about that. You know, also there's these paintings. You know, what do you call these? Something that, you know, you put a little, people.
Temporary.
Temporary. Put it on
again.
So wash it off, and it doesn't, and it's not indented. Right? So, people go ahead, you go to an amusement park, they stamp you with some sort of ink, right?
Right.
No one has any. Has anyone ever said there's a problem? No one ever said it. So we'll see more about that in the Mitzvah Center. Mishoshi haMitzvah, the root behind this Mitzvah. The Chinuch says, "Mashukasam the Makafas Harosh Vashchas Zokin." The Torah says that you can't go ahead. The recent Mitzvahs nearby, the Torah prohibits for a person to round off his head. You would call it a kodesh. Right? The guy will shave his head bald, and not only his head bald is not the problem, it's that the sideburns at the corners, he knocks off the corners, as he calls the payas, if he takes a complete bald haircut, and no hair is left on his head, and he rounds his head, that's prohibited, and the reason behind that has been said, I think the Rambam said, because the concern. That was something that the people connected with Avodah Zarah used to do. they would go ahead and they would, like the Rambam says that the priests of the Avodah Zarah, they would go ahead and they would shave off their, they would use razor blade their beard. That was the common.
Who's Avodah Zarah?
Some sort of idol worship was common in that time. In the time, and that's why he suggests that. I mean, the Torah does not give a reason why we can't go ahead and do that. Why you can't go ahead and shave all your payas off? The Torah says you can't do it. Doesn't give a reason. But the Rambam says that this it was connected with Avodah Zarah. It was common people worship with the Zara, they would the priests used to go ahead and shave off their beard, they used to use a razor on their beard. So back to over here, the Rambam says also here also the Chiddush says that also the reason here is the tattoos is like an, you know, it's like I'm a servant to the Avodah Zarah. It was common that they, people would go ahead and they would tattoo themselves as a sign of being loyal to the Avodah Zarah. You know, there was an opinion in the Mishnah, there's two opinions in the Mishnah, when is a tattoo prohibited biblically? The Tanakhama holds any type of tattoo. You don't have to write the name of the Zohar if you're going to have. If you want to tattoo letters or it would sound like a picture or something, it will be prohibited. But Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says the only it's only if you write the name of Avodah Zarah. He understands that the prohibition is only if it would be Avodah Zarah. If the name of Avodah Zarah was written, because the pasuk says Aksovas Kaka Lo Sidle Bochem. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, and not and no other God. Meaning, there's no other God. Meaning, Hashem is saying, I don't want you to make this out. Don't make a tattoo where you write the name of the because that tattoo, the Torah saying, I don't want you to do is because you're going against me. I am Hashem. There's no other God. Don't write it up. Don't make a tattoo. Don't indent a tattoo into yourself with writing another name of another God. That's the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Yehuda. So we see in Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, he understands that that it's solely prohibited, that the prohibition is only if you write the name of Avodah Zarah. He says it's clearly connected to Avodah Zarah.
I see.
Tanakhama does not say, it doesn't say anything about Avodah Zarah. It has nothing to do whether you write the name of Avodah Zarah, you don't write the name of Avodah Zarah.
I see.
But the fact that there's an opinion that says the prohibition is connected to Avodah Zarah, you could say that even the prohibition, even the Tanakhama that says it's prohibited even without the Avodah Zarah, could still be that the reason why the Torah prohibited any tattoo was to, as a fence to the commonplace tattoo that was commonly used for Avodah Zarah. And Hashem doesn't want you to go ahead and tattoo yourself with the name of Avodah Zarah on you. So I maybe therefore he prohibited all types of tattoo. That's how you could suggest in the Tanakhama. But there's a prohibition of, now, Torah didn't give a reason, so even if these reasons don't apply today, a person wants to tattoo himself as an expression, the biblical prohibition remains. It's interesting, I was once in a mikveh, and there was a young man, I saw a bird on his back, and a beautiful bird on his back.
Uh-huh.
A beautiful bird on his back was a tattoo,
uh-huh.
And he became a Baal Tshuva. Uh-huh. And but he still had the tattoo on his back.
Oh, that poor guy. Poor guy.
What a beautiful bird, a beautiful picture. But it was prohibited. But he didn't know.
Either he
was a Baal Tshuva, or he was a ger, or he was a convert. I did not ask him about it. I did not talk to him about it. Right. I did not bring it up to him. But obviously, but that was an interesting.
He can't be over now. I mean,
I would think the prohibition is only when he did it. He transgressed. Now that he has it, I don't think that he's constantly wouldn't seem to me that every moment that he has that tattoo, he's violating a prohibition.
I see.
The prohibition is don't place a tattoo. You place a tattoo, so you transgressed it. I don't see that every moment he has a tattoo. I don't see it that way unless other people see it differently.
No.
There
must be some way of defacing these, because you know, let's say the guy had put Chalila, you know, the symbol of some. It's not uncommon. Christians have these things on them all the time, and. You know, the guy was a Baal Teshuva or a Megayer. You know, he'd have to have some way of
you can have them removed, but it's expensive.
I see. You can. Okay.
Well,
Good. That's the answer. Thank you.
I would ask you a similar question. The Torah says, "Don't ruin your payas." Right? So the prohibition is meaning the Torah says, let's say, don't go ahead and cut off your sideburns. The person goes in and cuts off his sideburns. Every second the sideburn is cut off, he's transgressing a new prohibition? No.
Oh, I see.
When he cut off the sideburns, he violated the prohibition. Now his sideburns are cut. He's bald. You know, he has no sideburns. Okay. He's not every moment transgressing another sin.
Oh, I see.
That's how I would compare it to that. You know, so therefore maybe, you know,
but there's interpreted different ways too. For some people have beards like you guys have. Other people have the long payas coming down.
Right, so the idea with the long payas, they might, because the Torah says, leave the corner. So they leave the corner, but they really leave the corner. They don't, you know,
that's a hinder.
They're not obligated to do that. That's a nice thing. They want to leave the corner. They don't want to touch it. They don't want to touch the payas. Okay, so that's the Chinuch explains the idea of keeping us away from Avodah Zarah. And he said that was common, that people would go ahead, and it was a way of saying that I am a servant to the Avodah Zarah. They would make a mark of some sort. So then the Chinuch continues and he says, "Medina HaMitzvah, meaning there's no part of the body which is exempt from this prohibition. A person can't say they're going to go ahead and make a mark on their back where no one sees, or any part of their body which is not exposed. There's no exception. All parts of the body are prohibited regarding this. Whether you cover it up, you know, with a garment, you don't cover it up, it's prohibited. It's prohibited for males and females. No one's allowed to make this tattoo. Then he says, if a person writes even one letter any place in his body, see, the question here is the language of the Chinuch. The Chinuch says even one letter. And the Minchas Chinuch says that the Rambam, other Rishon, don't say a letter like Yitzchak brought up. We're not talking about letters, we're talking about making a mark. So they say, they don't write any mark. It's also chayiv. Any mark would be chayiv, they hold. Question is, see, there's a whole discussion. Where does the Chinuch get this idea of one letter? So by Shabbos, you know, one of the third number malachas prohibited on Shabbos is writing. To write on Shabbos is prohibited, biblically prohibited. And it was one of the malachas they did in the Mishkan. They would write on the boards. They would write to mark the boards to match which boards to which board. And there the prohibition was two letters, was the prohibition. And here the Chinuch says one letter would be prohibited. Would get malchus for writing one letter. One second.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
I'm sorry.
Someone would say that since the goyim would use even one letter as a mark to the Avodah Zarah, that's how someone would. But it needs looking into why one letter is enough. I mean, the Torah says by this prohibition, writing. So any amount of writing would be maybe would be sufficient. That would any type of mark would be. But again, he says a letter. Yes, something else. Yes, what do you say? Yes.
Well, as far as this marks or, I mean, pictures or writing goes, it seems like if there's going to be a minimum shear, like in most averas, there's a minimum shear. Then it seems like it'd be really hard to define a shear for a picture because, you know, or a design. I mean, in O's, there's a shear because, you know, you have to complete the O's to make a shear. But if there's a picture or design, you know, just like, what if you prick your arm, you know, and fill it in with a dot? I mean, are you over on that? That's, you know, it's, you see what I mean?
Right, very good point. That's a very good point. So let's see what the Milchas Kodesh is going to address
here.
This is
important. Thank
you. See, if you look in Osei, in the Milchas Kodesh.
Yes, sir.
Osei, he writes, Ayin Sefer Yad HaKtana. You got it?
Oh, yes.
Osei.
Yes.
And he said, Avodah Zarah Milchas Oni, Os, Pei Zayin, Shekosav, the Afla Rambam, even the Rambam that says you don't need a form of letters, you don't need letters. Some sort of mark. Now what does that mean? Either O-Sholem or Roshem Sholem. A complete mark. Now again, what does that mean, a complete mark? Of a street of the Alma, just a scrape.
I say
it not is for the khayf on the rack with our bonus also. Okay, so you're right. It needs looking into exactly what, how much of a mark would it be? Any type of mark according to the Rambam? Any type of mark that you could, that's permanent? You can recognize, you could see there's a mark there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the language of the Mishnah is hold. See, if it actually yichtov. See, the Mishnah does say the language so you write and engrave with anything that makes a mark. So the question is, what's called writing? Or what's called, you know,
okay, right.
So I'm saying maybe
right.
Making a dot might not be considered a...
Or a line, or a...
What's called writing? So let's see more of the Midrash Chinuch discuss. I don't know if we'll get into this issue. But that's a very good technical point. According to the other Rishonim that don't say anything about a letter, you see, the fact that the Chinuch says if you write even a letter, even one letter, does not mean to say that if he say you, that if you would make a picture, he wouldn't be chayiv.
Right.
Maybe he's just saying that a letter, one letter is good enough.
Uh-huh.
But a picture, he would also maybe hold. I'm saying we don't see where the fact that the Chinuch says that you have to, if you write a letter, means that he's saying a picture wouldn't be good. To say that he's arguing on the Rambam, the Chinuch would generally say, I argue on the Rambam. The fact that he doesn't say, I'm arguing on the Rambam, saying there's room to say that the Chinuch is just saying he would agree. See, the question is, why is he saying even one letter?
Uh-huh.
Is he coming to say that a picture wouldn't be anything? Or, of course, a picture he would agree would be something, would be a problem.
Yes. Have we seen what the Rambam says here?
So we'll see the Midrash Chinuch quoted the language of the Rambam.
Okay.
That the Rambam holds, you don't need a, you know, let's see if the Midrash Chinuch, well, let's go back to the Midrash Chinuch. Let's look at the Midrash Chinuch.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have the beginning of the Midrash Chinuch. Okay, so let's see the Minchas Chinuch. We go back over here. See, you get technical on how does to violate this prohibition. Is it what came first? What came second? Did you scrape? Did you make it with the knife or the needle first? Did you make the engraving first and then the ink, or the ink came first and then you did the needle?
Wow.
That's the whole discussion here in the. The Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch says, "Lo nizbayer b'divrei harav ha-machaber." In the machaber, in the Chinuch, it's not clear. In Sarach Hakakei Aliyas Kodem, does the engravement have to come first? first you have to scrape or cut with a knife or a needle, and then the rishima, then you mark it? Or after hepech, or even the opposite way, the maksiva kodem, if the writing comes first, would you also be chayim? Does it make it any, is it, are you obligated in any way, as long as you do both? Both the writing and the mark and the scraping. Hine has smak, kosav. The smak, the same Mrs. Gedolos, he says first the writing, a kosav kakaya, shisra. He writes first he writes first the engraving first and then the writing of the Malik Chol, then you fill it up with the dye. First the Rambam says you make a mark after you scraped. So what came first? The scraping came first, indentation came first, and then came the filling up with the ink. So it would seem that the question is that just commonplace, or it has to be in that particular order? So the Minchas Chinuch says it would appear that the fact that the Rambam specifies first the indentation, the scraping, and then the writing, it seemed to imply near the dafku. Only in that particular order would there be a biblical prohibition. The Ayin Rashi Makas, Rashi says the opposite. Rashi says ksiva first writing and then the scraping. Acha srita. Maybe we've got to talk to one of these tattoo places over here. So we could, you know, we should tell the tattoo place if they want to do tattoos, they should only do it on Gentile customers. No Jewish customers for the tattoos. Ayin Shach Yeradeya. Kosev Alosh and Machavek, Kuzosh and Rambam, the Shach writes in Yeradeya on the language of the Machaber, which is the Machaber of Shulchan Aruch, which is quoting the Machaber Shulchan Aruch, is following the language of the Rambam. To who and the Rambam indicates the scraping first, the indentation first, and he writes near the who did cut. He said if you write first, it also would be good. Also would be the prohibition. There's no difference. Writing first, any day of writing. He's learning that there's no difference what came first, what came second.
Of course not, because if there was, then there'd be a kosher way to tattoo or a non-kosher. We were saying we don't want to be tattooed at all, period.
Very good. No, the question is, let's say, even if you would say there's no, you might say there's no malchus, you might say there's no lashes, but you still might say there's a rabbinic prohibition. I mean, even the opinions that say, you can join in. Welcome. I think the prohibition of tattoos, the question is there any type of order in order to violate the biblical prohibition? Is it that you have to do the scraping first and then the writing and then filling it up with the ink, or putting the ink in and then the scraping? Is there any particular order in order to violate the biblical prohibition? So the Shach says it doesn't seem to be any difference. Any way you do it, as long as you do both, the writing and the scraping, and it's permanent, is a biblical prohibition, any fashion. And Mishas Chachomim, Hegi Vishem Marashal, Pirish Smag, Shemin Muki Yosef, Arav, Mishas, the Dafka Kakei Atchila Vacha Chasav Chayim. Some say there's a particular order. Only if you scrape first, you indent, make the scraping first, the cutting first of the flesh, and then you put the writing in. If you wrote first and then you went ahead and you scrape, then some say you're not chayim. Okay, so that's a machlokas, and it seems like in the Rishonim. The question here is there any particular order in order to violate the prohibition or not? Now let's get to something which would be practical, even to you and me. If you scraped and you didn't make a mark, you didn't make any writing in it. Let's say that doesn't apply to us. I don't think any of us is going to go ahead and make a scrape, intentionally scrape our hand with anything. Scrape it in a way to make an indentation. But what about the other way around? If you make a, we said there's the writing aspect. What if we write on our hand? Is there any rabbinic prohibition for writing on our hand? Because if we write and it's permanent, and it's indented, there's a biblical prohibition. Would the rabbis prohibit even any writing on one's hand, on one's body? because as a fence, that you should come to go ahead and speak and write.
Right.
That, right. So that is the question.
It's great.
Now, it says, Ach ina mevur b'Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah is quiet about it. In Yeshi Sedra Rabbanan, he doesn't say if there's any Sedra Rabbanan. Ah, however, the Rambam does say if you did one and not the other, you're potter. Until potter. He didn't say it's mutter. Uh-huh. General rule is potter generally is potter avalasa.
Right.
If you say potter, like by Shabbos, potter means it's exempt, but there's a rabbinic prohibition. So the fact that Rambam used the language of potter would seem to indicate there's maybe a rabbinic prohibition if you did one and went out the other. And the only question is, when the Rambam says you wrote and you didn't indent, that might, the Rambam's writing might be referring to what type of writing? A permanent type of writing. Maybe you can learn the Rambam when the Rambam says if you wrote and it's not indented, your potter, maybe that's a permanent writing. No raya that a Rambam would hold a little writing on your hand, which is not permanent, would be rabbinically prohibited. If you want to make a deal from the Rambam, you could say, if you did one or not the other, but the writing is permanent writing.
I see.
Let's say you use a permanent marker. I don't know, permanent marker is not permanent. It gets off. But let's say you use some sort of ink that will never come off. You would write on your hand, talk to some people, they'll tell you there's a certain type of ink that will not come off.
Okay, good.
Would that... Then also, what's, again, the question of what's called permanent is also another question. But let's say technically we'll stay for a very, very long time. Would you say that that's a rabbinic prohibition or not? Let's see what he says. Now, Ach Miloshim Petur, from the language of the Petur Nira Diika Isidur Isura, it seems like there will be an Issa. Kamosha Kosa Rabbi Machabalav Mitzan Nurishan Beis Gabiz by the Zake, by the beer, where he used the language of Petur in a certain case. And you see, the Chinuch says, if you look at Rishan Beis, he said that the Rambam says if you shaved with scissors your beard, your putter.
Uh-huh.
What would imply the Rambam says your putter if you shaved your beard.
Uh-huh.
But putter generally means what? Putter avalasa, but it's prohibited. So that's what the Chinuch says. The Chinuch says it would appear that the Rambam would hold if you shave with a scissor, like if you would call an electric shaver,
uh-huh,
like a scissor, it would be rabbinically prohibited to use electric shaver according to the Rambam on your beard.
Uh-huh.
The Kesef Mishnah disagrees, or the Kesef Mishnah writes that he understands the Rambam not that way.
Uh-huh.
It means it's muta even lechatchila to use a scissor on your beard.
But why would the Rambam use the Russian Patu or not Mutter?
Okay, so it could be there's a difference. Maybe the word Potter by Shabbos might mean Avalasar, maybe or maybe the Rambam's uses, maybe it's not the proof that every time the Rambam uses the word Potter means Avalasar. So that's the
don't
question.
We hold it's mutter to
we hold it's mutter, but the Sefer Chinuch understands the Rambam. The Rambam,
say,
the Rambam would hold it's forbidden. So that's the question, how to learn the Rambam here. Would you say the Rambam here also means that it will be prohibited to write? The Rambam said you're putter if you wrote and you didn't use it, you scrape. So it would sound like you're putter, but it would sound like it's usher. The way the Chinuch understands the Rambam's usage of the word putter would mean of a usher.
I see.
And it would be prohibited. But again, that would not be a proof according to the way the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam. He says the Rambam could use the word potter, but it doesn't indicate it would be usher.
I see.
Now, the Chinuch himself says, he brings the Beit Shmuel and Evan Ezra that said that if you wrote, there would be an Issa de Rabbanan. If you wrote something and you did not engrave it, scrape it, there's a rabbinic prohibition, and the Mincha Sinner says it'll come out, it would seemingly come out, but I can't make a mark on my hand. According to that, if you say writing itself would be rabbinically prohibited.
Phone numbers.
You can't write a phone number on your hand. I'm not recommending it. But the question is there a rabbinic prohibition?
Right.
So the Mincha Sinner, if you turn the page, and the new Mincha Sinner, it says, he said like this, like I alluded to earlier, that even if we'll say there's an Issa Rabbanon, and if we'll learn the Rambam, Potamis, Potalavalasa, that's only if it's a permanent mark, a permanent ink. But you would add a spray. I mean, that you could say is a rabbinic prohibition. If you write an ink on your hand that will last, if you have a certain tattoo, that doesn't engrave. They'll come up with all different types of tattoos today, right?
They have
a tattoo that doesn't engrave, right?
But the Indian people will do it like a wedding. They'll paint their like a.
Right, but that paint washes off, correct?
A few days.
I would hope that's not called. I hope that's not called permanent, because it raises a few days.
It seems like a person's skin is gonna grow. You know, a person's skin is constantly growing, all you know, shedding and stuff. So I don't think it seems like almost impossible to have a, unless it's engraved below the part of the skin that grows, like a tattoo goes down right to the, you know, permanent part of your skin. Then anything's gonna wash, gonna flake off.
That's right. You're saying that it's okay to scrape your skin as long as you don't use ink, because it'll heal, it'll go away. It's not.
I don't know if you should scrape. I'm saying, see, I don't know if you should. See, he's focusing on the writing aspect without the scraping, but the truth is scraping without the writing is also part of the question, because the Rambam said if you did one without the other, you're potter. Maybe scraping yourself. A scrape that's deep enough that you could fill it with ink, maybe would be rabbinically prohibited.
Where is there for another prohibition? Cutting yourself in the morning? Or?
Right, there's another prohibition that you're not allowed to go ahead and make a mark for a mace over if a person passed away. The Torah says, that's what the Rambam here, so retreat the Achas, and a mace gets melted. A person scrapes himself because someone passed away, and he scrapes himself. That's prohibited.
Yeah. I was just wondering if maybe it's like it's not practically possible to have an ink that's really permanent, like a tattoo. I don't know if that's true or not. I really don't know. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Say that again.
An
ink that really is permanent on your skin. I don't. It just seems to me it might not even be possible.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
It used to be, but now the laser tattoo away. But it used to be for.
But the laser tattoo is, does it go into the skin? Is it not in dentist?
No. If someone has a tattoo, you go to like a certain doctor, they can laser it, and like it explodes the ink, and the ink goes and like disappears. You can get rid of the tattoo.
Oh, I see.
It's a newer thing, but. So is that permanent if it can be removed?
If you have to come to that type of technology to remove it, I think it's called permanent. The fact that under normal conditions and normal, I think that you would have to, especially the normal conditions, it's not removed. You have to go ahead and do a surgery or do some sort of thing. I think that's. By itself, I would think that's called permanent. I mean, to say that things have changed at the time the Torah was given, that was called permanent. Say now it's not called permanent, it's hard to say.
What if, my question would be, like, what if someone, the Bali Chuba, had a tattoo, and
I wanted to suggest that most probably there's no, he's not, every second he has that tattoo on, I don't think he's transgressing an aveira every second. Every second you don't have a mezuzah on your door, you're transgressing a mitzvah. Every second you wear a four-quarter garment, and the four-quarter doesn't have tzitzis, you're transgressing. But the prohibition is don't place a tattoo. You place a tattoo. It's like the Torah says, don't shave your payas off. Once you shaved your pais, every second you're violating a new prohibition?
No, he wants to do tshuva for the transgression. That would involve getting it removed if it's possible.
Oh, is that called the tshuva? I don't know if that's... Is that called tshuva on that...
Where it was done.
I mean, it's like a guy goes in and his pays grow back. Is that tshuva on the pays going back? That pays, you know, he violated. Is that called undoing... place a tattoo. Maybe someone discusses this. I mean, someone should discuss this, but I don't know that that's called... That's called tshuva on this prohibition. The tshuva would be not to place any more tattoos in his body. That would be the tshuva that, you know, the Rambam says, what tshuva? Tshuva is, I have the same opportunity to do the same aveira and I don't do it again. I have that same opportunity. That I think would be the tshuva. A person's lived with someone that he shouldn't live with and then he has that opportunity again to live with that person. That I think would be tshuva on that. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch wants to say, that to him it would be poshut. Writing on your body without anything that's not permanent, no problem. Writing a telephone number is not a problem. But if it be some sort of permanent, then there's a good reason to say that it'll be rabbinically prohibited. So if today's day and age, if they could come out with some sort of tattoo or some sort of something that's not engraved, it's on the surface, but it's permanent, so I bet they have such technology today that you don't have to go so deep, but it's going to be permanent, that should be rabbinically prohibited.
Rabbi, permit?
Yes.
You know, it seems to me, I don't know that this is true or not, to tell the truth, but it seems to me that just that anything on the skin is the skin is constantly flaking off, and it has to go. If it were permanent, then that would mean it would have to go in deep down to the same place that it's oyskritzed with the sarita.
Today's technology and the strength of certain things that we have today, of the inks and the dyes and the chemicals, we're living in a very sophisticated society, there's a good chance that that it'll be able to be done, that you won't be able to, if you put water and soap, it's not going to do the trick.
I say.
You have to rub it and rub it, it's not going to do anything.
Okay.
Now, the Chinuch said, if someone else puts a tattoo on you, you don't put your tattoo on yourself. Let's say if you put your tattoo on yourself,
yes,
you did an action, so you get malchus. Okay. If someone else did it to you, then your only time you would get malchus if you helped him. Because you have to do an action. If you moved your hand for him, you moved your body for him, if you helped him, then you would get malchus. Because a lot of it doesn't have a maisa, doesn't have an action, will not get malchus.
I see.
Where's malchus?
Lashes. Only time we get
malchus.
It's referred to as malchus. Malchus and malchus is the same thing. To get lashes would be if somebody. Only you have to do an action in order to get malchus. Okay, we should be zocher. But even if you don't do an action, if you're just passive, it's still a biblical prohibition. Even if you don't do an action.
So prior to. At this, as if when the Rambam was writing, they were talking about like cult,
That's machlokas in the Gemishna. Is it only for a cult or not? But the halacha is even if it's not for a cult, even any type. The Rambam says any type of tattoo, any type of writing, marking would be prohibited. It could be. The Rambam said it could be because of the problem they used to do it for Avodah Zarah. That's how the Chinuch explains. So it's common to do these markings to show an allegiance to Avodah Zarah. So therefore, any type of tattoo the Torah forbade as a fence. It could be because of being connected to Avodah Zarah.
We don't know why Hashem.
Right, but that's what the Chinuch suggests because of the connection to Avodah
Zarah. Rabbi Friedman, who is the Manda Omer in the Mishnah? Who is the Tana?
Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Omer. Only if you write the name of Avodah Zarah.
All right.
Which means that all the Avodah Zarah in the world should be removed. We should go back there.
Amen. Okay.